We talked in our study last Lord's Day about an unlikely prospect for the gospel, Saul of Tarsus. And we noted that he was converted through the word. He did the same thing that all the others who were added to the Lord's family did in that particular era. Today we want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts and look at another account there of an individual who was converted. But here we're looking at a different kind of an audience than Saul of Tarsus was. And we titled our study today, An Ideal Audience. Obviously, there are different types of audiences, or different kinds of audiences. There are indifferent audiences. That was the case with Felix in Acts, the 24th chapter, there at verse 25, when Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." And so he heard the word, and it caused him some consternation, but he wasn't willing to do what it said. He was indifferent toward the word. Then in Acts the 7th chapter, verse 51, there is an audience we might describe as a rebellious audience. Stephen, on that occasion, preached to the people, preached the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, but there's an entirely different reaction. In verse 51 of Acts chapter 7, Stephen said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in the ears, you do always resist the truth, even as your fathers did, so do ye." And when he said that, they stoned him to death. And those who stoned Stephen, remember, they laid their clothes, their coats, at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul at one time said he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. But this gives you two different audiences. One indifferent, the other rebellious. But then, as you look in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 41, you find there a receptive audience. Now, obviously, everybody in that audience was not receptive, as we talked about in our Bible study period this morning. Probably hundreds of thousands of Jews that were there in and around the city of Jerusalem at this time, but only 3,000 were obedient to the gospel. But verse 41 says, "Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, the same day we added them, about 3,000 souls." There's the attitude that an individual ought to have in regard to the word of God. Those who gladly receive his word. It is the attitude of heart that determines the results of the sowing of the seed. You look in Luke the 8th chapter, and you can read there from verse 4 through 15, the parable of the sower. And it specifically says there in that context that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. And the seed that was sown in the good and honest heart brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. But it brought forth fruit. This depicts four different attitudes toward the word of God. Some seed fell by the wayside. It's a hard, impenetrable surface. Some fell on rocky ground. Some fell on thorny ground. But some fell on good ground. So four different types of audiences are represented there, or attitudes of audiences. But Cornelius demonstrates the kind of an attitude that we ought to have. In verse 33 of Acts chapter 10, the text says, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." To hear all things commanded thee of God. That's the kind of an audience that we would desire to have. It's not hard to teach the word of God to someone who is sincerely interested and wants to know what the Word of God is. I want to talk a little bit about this particular audience that was there on this occasion. I want to look, first of all, at the principal characters of the audience. Obviously, there was Cornelius there in chapter 10, in verse 1. It talks about his civil relationship. He was captain, or chief captain, really, of about 100 men, a centurion of the Italian band. Centurion was one who was captain over about 100 men in the Roman army. In verse 2 and in verse 22, it talks about his character. And as you read the character of Cornelius there in verse 2, it says, a devout man, one that feared God, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. It'd be hard-pressed to find a better moral individual than that. In verse 22, it says, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of Jews. Here's a description of the man who was the primary member of this audience that was assembled on this particular occasion. He is a devout, that means he is a pious individual. The word pious simply means one who is earnest, wish is to fulfill his religious obligation. He reverenced God, that's the idea involved in the word fear, and he was generous in helping other people, just, upright, he was fair. And so, this is the kind of individual he was. But he was given some instructions. Even though he was this kind of an individual, notice what it said in verse 5, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And in verse 6, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius still needed to do something. And we'll talk a little bit later about what that was. But he was the only one that was part of this audience. There was his family and his near friends. In verse 24, he had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And so his family was there. And then there is the speaker, the Apostle Peter. Peter was given the responsibility of preaching the gospel. In Matthew chapter 16, and there at verse 19, remember Jesus told Peter, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Keys, we obviously understand, open doors. Peter was given the responsibility of opening the doors to the kingdom. In Acts chapter 15, beginning there at verse 7, Peter, on that occasion, where there was a debate going on about circumcision, he said, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And so Peter in his own mouth says that God had given him the responsibility of going to the Gentiles to preach the word of the gospel. So Peter is the one who is pressing on this occasion to do what God had required of him to do. And in verse 20 of Acts chapter 10, the Spirit told Peter to go without doubting. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, Peter didn't fully understand all that was going on until he got down there to the household of Cornelius, and he saw the evidence that God provided that the Gentiles had been accepted. The Holy Spirit fell on them like it did on the apostles. Not necessarily in the same measure that it did on the apostles. But the Holy Spirit was given to them. They didn't have the power to pass that along like the apostles did. But this was an evidence that God had accepted the Gentiles. And so Peter now fully understood the vision that he had had. And now he's there preaching to this audience of people. Now let's look a little bit at the attitude of the audience. Notice in verse 33 what Cornelius said. We're all here. All here. They had assembled. Family. Near friends. He said many were come together. In verse 24, he called together his kinsmen and near friends. Then in verse 27, it said, when this is Peter, when he had talked with him, Peter talked with Cornelius, he went in and noticed, he said, and found many that were come together. It wasn't just a few, there were many there. And in verse 33, when Cornelius has related to Peter what happened, he said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. He had invited his family, his friends, and there was quite an assembly there. Today, sometimes we don't have the kind of courage that Cornelius had in inviting and encouraging family and friends to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it may be that we're a little bit ashamed to invite our family and friends. It ought not to be. Those who do invite, encourage family and friends to come and hear the gospel are to be commended. But notice what he said, we are present before God. They were aware that God is everywhere. In Psalm 139, at verse 7, David, you remember, said, where shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. As if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. David said, doesn't matter where I go, God's there. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, remember the text said, where two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, actually just one chapter there, but verse 9, so whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. We need to be God conscious. Everywhere, God's there. We're sitting in our recliner, our easy chair at home, and we're flicking through channels on the TV, and remember, God is there. He knows, He sees. Sometimes we forget that. I know I do. But we need to be aware of God's presence. We're present before God, and here's why we're here. To hear. We understand, we are commanded to hear. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And we're talking in the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Number of times, he that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. We need to be willing to hear, and that also involves taking heed or paying attention to what we hear. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. If we pay attention to what we hear, if we absorb what we hear, make it part of our lives, then we're going to grow, and we're going to be given more responsibilities. Luke 8, verse 18 says, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Pay attention to the way that we hear. Some don't hear. Some come not to hear. They come to see and be seen. That's not our purpose of being here. Yes, it's good for us to be among our brethren. We receive encouragement. We receive exhortation. We receive strength from each other. But we're here in the presence of God. We're here to hear the Word of God, to worship and to serve Him, to understand what His will is for us. Notice that's one of the things that's stated here, to hear all things commanded thee of God. That's the reason we're here. To hear what God's will is. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 27 to the elders there at Ephesus that he had shunned to declare to them the whole counsel of God. We don't need to hear part of it. We need to hear all of it. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, they just speak as the oracles of God. The word oracles means the oral or spoken word. God spoke. How did he speak? Well, he didn't speak like he did to the children of Israel there on Mount Sinai when he spoke audibly to them and they were scared to death. They asked Moses to go and that God speak to him and then he would tell them what God said. Actually, he told Aaron and Aaron told the people. He has spoken to us through his Son, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God at sundry time and divers manner spake in time past the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Well, how has he done that? Well, his Son came and he chose these 12 men, these 12 apostles or ambassadors, and he empowered them with the Holy Spirit in John the 16th chapter. He told them that the Holy Spirit would come. Would guide them into all truth. He would speak of himself, but whatever he would hear, that he would speak and show them things to come. The Holy Spirit spoke to them the Word of God. And Paul said, we wrote it down. In his writing to the Ephesians, when you read it, you can understand it. It was a mystery, but it's now been revealed by these holy apostles and prophets, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to sons of men, but is now made known through the holy apostles and prophets. It's been made known. God has spoken through his word. And so if we're going to speak, we're going to have to speak as the oracles of God. We understand that there is only one gospel, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul said, I marvel, you're so soon to move of him, the grace of God, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we are preaching to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Though we are an angel from heaven, doesn't make any difference who it is, or what they claim the source is, if it's not from the Word of God, if it's not from the New Testament, the revealed will of God, don't listen to them. Even if they claim that an angel revealed it to them, it's not so. Because the gospel has been revealed, it's been recorded. And in Revelation chapter 22, there are verses 18 and 19, the text says, for I testify unto every man to hear the words of the prophet of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. We can't add to, we can't take away. Many audience today want special doctrine. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want their ears tickled. And Paul would have this to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so Paul told Timothy, this young preacher, that the time was coming when people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't want to hear the pure, unadulterated truth of the gospel of Christ. They want it mixed with human doctrine. And that's exactly what we have in the world today. All over the world today. People who want their ears tickled. So this is what the attitude of this audience was on that occasion. We're all here. We're present before God. We're here to hear all things commanded thee of God. Well, now let's talk about the preacher's message on this occasion. He said in verse 34, "Of truth I perceive God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Of a truth I perceive. I understand, Peter said now. God is no respecter of person. Anybody, anywhere, can hear the gospel. Believe it, obey it, and be a part of God's family. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants everybody to be saved. So, what was the preacher's message on this occasion? After he understood that God wanted everybody to hear the gospel of Christ, what did he say? He commanded them to have faith. In verse 43 of the text, he said to him, "Give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." By the authority of Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him. And now what Jesus said, Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And now when he's rehearsing this matter, as he goes over to Jerusalem and rehearses this matter with the people there on that occasion, verse 18 said, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then in God also to the Gentiles, granted repentance unto life." So what did the preacher say? Believe, repent. You know what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost? They were already believers because they were cut to the heart by what Peter said about Jesus being the Christ. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance was part of the message that was preached. And then baptism was commanded. In verse 48 of chapter 10, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They should not, he said, "Can any man forbid water? They should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we." And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, that is, by the authority of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They were commanded to be baptized. Now, obviously, involved in this is the willingness to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, "If you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father in heaven. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven." So obviously, they were required to do what the Ethiopian said when Philip preached to him. And he said, "Here's water. What hindered me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." The Ethiopian said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It was at this point, then he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So he completed his obedience. That's exactly what Peter told these people to do here in the household of Cornelius. Well, that's the preacher's message. What's the result of this combination? It was obedience to the truth. In Acts chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, it's in this discussion that they had, this debate about circumcision. In verse 7, it says, "When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know How that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The Gentiles could hear the word of God and believe. And God would know at the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, listen, purifying their hearts by faith. They heard the gospel with the right attitude. They believed the gospel. They obeyed the gospel. They did what Peter told them to do. And as a result, their hearts were purified by faith that led to obedience. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, you can't please God. And that's what Jesus required. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, verse 16. And so they heard the gospel with the right attitude of heart. They believed it. They obeyed it. Their hearts then were purified by faith. Now, this is the ideal audience. This has come along very often. Many times it's an antagonistic audience, such as Saul of Tarsus was before he was confronted by the Lord. When he was confronted by the Lord and he recognized Jesus as Lord, then he's not antagonistic anymore. And so it can be with people today. But people need to be brought to the point that they recognize Jesus as Lord. Recognize his word as the authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, that all authority, all power has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. People need to be brought to the point that they understand that Jesus Christ has all authority. That no man, no group of men has any authority whatsoever. The apostles didn't have any authority but what had been given to them by the Holy Spirit from God. And so, as we think about this ideal audience, understand that we are in this audience now. We are here. Why are we here? Why did we come today? Well, we came to worship. Because for the most part, we're all children of God. We've been added to the family of God. At this point in time, when Peter went to the household of Cornelius, he was not a Christian. He had not been baptized for the remission of sins. He was when he learned that he needed to do that. And so as a result, he was added to the family of God. That's what happened in that second chapter. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So those who gladly received his word were baptized. The same day we added them about 3,000 souls. God did the adding to his church, about 3,000 people, as a result of their obedience. But they continued to assemble together on a regular basis. One of the reasons that they continued to assemble together was to hear the word of God, to be exhorted, to be taught. They were continued daily in the temple. They studied the word of God on a regular basis. We're all here. One of the reasons we're here is to hear the word of God being proclaimed. And the gospel has been preached. I believe what I've taught here is in complete harmony with God's word. If it's not, you have a responsibility to bring that to my attention. If I've taught anything that is error, it's not exactly the way it's revealed in Scripture, then it's your responsibility to bring that to my attention so that I can make corrections. Make sure that what I've taught is indeed the truth, because Jesus said, John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it has to be the truth, or else it's no value. from a spiritual standpoint. The question is, have we heard? Are we really listening to God's word? And I include myself in that. I said we. Are we really listening to what God's word says? Are we aware that God is everywhere? That he knows everything we say, everything we do, even everything we think. If we have the attitude that Cornelius had, then yes, we will indeed obey the truth. If there should be one in this audience that has never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, never been baptized for the remission of their sin, we certainly would be willing at this time to help you to complete your obedience to the Lord. Baptistry is filled, clothing is provided. There's nothing that would hinder you. That's what the Ethiopian asked. Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that stood between him and being baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's obvious he turned from his sins, because Jesus said, you either repent or you perish. Peter told those on Pentecost to repent. So obviously he turned from his sins, and he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Then he was baptized for the remission of your sins. You can do that today. If you have obeyed the gospel, and you realize that at some point in time you cease doing the will of the Lord, you need to return. Just like is spoken in the letter to the church, seven churches of Asia. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Just like Simon Sorcerer was told to do, repent, therefore, this thy wickedness, and pray God and prompt the thought of thy heart might be forgiven thee. You need to make a public acknowledgement of sin. You can do that at this time. Whatever your need may be, you can respond to the Lord's invitation as we stand and sing for your encouragement.